Welcome to the 155 Election Podcast. Interviews with candidates running for mayor, city council, and school board trustee in Hamilton, Ontario. Episode 136. Brian Lewis, you are running for city councilor in Ward 14. Welcome to the 155 Election Podcast.
Why, thank you, Joey.
Firstly, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm a father of two boys. I live on the West Mountain. I've been active in the community most of my adult life and actually most of my teen life also. I love this community and I think I have something to offer the community and the people of Ward 14.
Do you live in Ward 14, yes or no?
Yes.
Does it matter if one lives in the community one seeks to represent?
Yes. I don't understand why some think they know better than the people who live in the ward. Now, of the seven of us running, besides myself, I only know of one other candidate, and I may be wrong in the number, that live in the ward. I'm having a hard time understanding why the other five candidates think that people of Ward 14 aren't worthy to be represented by somebody who lives there.
How have you contributed to your community and our city?
Well, I've been active my entire life, everything from spearheading the name change of Andrew Warburton Memorial Park to pushing council to develop the Hug a Tree program, being a founding member of the Mayor's Race Relations Committee under the leadership of Mayor Bob Morrill, which in turn created the boycott buying policy on South Africa and the apartheid government back then. In recent years, I've been active on parent councils of both Regina Monday and St. Thomas More High, and I've also been a volunteer with the victim services of part of the Hamilton Police Service.
What are two of your priorities for Ward 14 and two of your priorities for Hamilton as a whole?
Simply put, slowing traffic down and transparency. As far as the city, affordable housing and homelessness, the city has a weird definition of that term, but meaning 30% of the household income for housing, you know, that's something that we have to take a little more serious. Things such as HATS, I'm not sure why the city hasn't been behind this 110%. They can help start the process of getting people the help they need and to a place that they can eventually call home. We have a beautiful city. We have to keep it that way. We have to take our environment far more seriously than we are. We have to look at bringing more green industry into the industrial capital of the country.
What are three skills you will bring to elected office that makes you the best choice to represent Ward 14 on Hamilton City Council?
Well, first and foremost, I'm willing to listen to the people of the ward. I'm willing to work with others for a mutual objective, which is making Hamilton even a better place to live. And I'm able to find answers to complex problems. It doesn't necessarily mean I know the answers, but I'll attempt to at least find them.
The following preamble leads to questions regarding honesty and transparency. Let's presume you are elected. During your first few weeks, you will be briefed regarding what City Hall refers to as confidential matters. We do not know what confidential matters are presently being withheld from the citizens of Hamilton. All four councillors first elected in 2018 initially voted to support the Coots Paradise cover-up, before three of the new councillors began voting against the continuing cover-up. The Municipal Act prohibits members of council from releasing information the majority of council declares confidential. What principles and advice will help you determine what information should be confidential and what information should be made public?
Great question, Joey. In my opinion, the big thing is public safety. Does keeping the information confidential affect the safety and well-being of the public? This is why, in my opinion, not letting people know about the Shadow Creek situation was a mistake. We still don't know the long-term effects of the spill, yet they chose to keep it quiet. I understand the legal implications. However, regardless if it's the Red Hill fiasco or the Shadow Creek nightmare, public safety has to come first.
The Red Hill Inquiry will issue its report early in the next term of council. The revelations regarding how City Hall ignored problems on the expressway and the toxic culture at City Hall, which silenced good people, are shocking. How do you plan to review and consider the final inquiry report when the Commission releases its findings and recommendations?
Like you, Joy, I've watched much of the inquiry. Unlike you, I could get up and walk away from the computer when I was getting frustrated by what I was hearing. In my opinion, the citizens of the city spent a heck of a lot of money for it, and it can't be kept under wraps. The first thing is that it has to be completely public. The second is we have to look at each of the recommendations to see how they can be best implemented to make sure it doesn't happen again.
The construction of the B-Line LRT will begin during this term of council. It will be the largest construction project in Hamilton's recent history. How do you plan to respond to construction challenges and opportunities?
Well, there will be both challenges and opportunities, as you pointed out. We need to look at things such as grants for the businesses, the small businesses that are affected. We need to look at some form of a property tax break that goes to the small business, not necessarily the land owner. Maybe create a BIA in the affected area to bring people and encourage supporting those businesses.
Before we turn to land use planning, let's have a lighter question. What is something interesting or unique within Ward 14 that you believe the rest of Hamilton should know about?
Well, that's a great question, Joey. There is a lot, but I'm going to stick with the view from Cliffview Park on top of the Chidoak Stairs. It's a beautiful view of the city, and it's really gives you a different angle of the community, meaning most people, when they think of Hamilton, they think of the Skyway going over and seeing the steel mills. This is one of the most beautiful cities on the continent, and I say that with all sincerity. And I think we need to take far more pride than we do for our city.
City Council decides land use planning and zoning. It decides where housing and businesses are located and the types of housing and businesses which are permitted in locations. There are two questions on this topic. The City of Hamilton is updating its outdated residential zoning bylaws. The zoning bylaws across Ward 14 are now decades old and do not conform with the provincial policy statement, Ontario's de facto planning law. With outdated zoning, the City of Hamilton is unable to present a principled planning position in front of the Ontario Land Tribunal. The new zoning, if compliant with the policy statement, will return local control over planning. What is your vision and how will you achieve it?
There are a number of things. One is we need more affordable housing, and we have some great community groups willing to help us build them. I don't have a clue why we are charging them development fees if they are doing something for the greater good of the community. All that being said, we do need to give homeowners more options when it comes to their own property, meaning if they want to put a granny suite in or even possibly make it into a triplex, as long as it meets the fire and safety measures or you know, those questions are dealt with, they should be allowed to go. We need more gentle density.
Large commercial plaza sites are converting into mixed-use mid-rise development across Hamilton. There was one formal consultation conceptual plan submitted for a Meadowlands Plaza. At present, there is no city planning policy specific to commercial to mixed-use redevelopment. What is your vision for this type of redevelopment, and how will you achieve that vision?
I think that it's an opportunity for developers to make a lot of money if they chose to. When we look at, I'm going to use the example of a strip mall. It's, I don't want to say it's wasted space, but what you have is you have one floor with a bunch of businesses. If those businesses had the opportunity to service another 11 stories, for I'm using that as an example, 10, 11 stories above the residential properties on top of those businesses would be far more likely to succeed. So we need to encourage more building in that kind of format. We can't really expand the city more than we already have, but we can expand the city by growing up, so to speak.
Road safety is a significant issue in Ward 14, with numerous pedestrian deaths in recent years which have shocked and saddened the community. What is your plan to address road safety? Please provide three detailed specifics of your plan.
Well, I can tell you that talking to thousands of people in Ward 14, the number one issue is speed along residential homes. People just seem to ignore the speed limit and fly. That just isn't acceptable for the safety of, for their own safety, but more importantly, the safety of citizens of the community. So we need to look at doing things like speed humps. We need to look at things like stop signs. We need to look at reducing speed limits. But let's be honest, Joey, if we reduce the speed limit to 5 kilometers an hour, it isn't going to make any difference if we're not going to enforce it. So One option, which I think is viable, is we already do portable speed cameras, but we need to do it in such a way that the first day it's in a neighborhood, somebody is going to come by with a can of spray paint and it is going to happen. So something along the lines of the back of a van and with a clear shot, you know, it can move around the city to wherever there's an area. Take those pictures, let the people pay the fine, and then they're going to realize that it has to stop until we get these individuals off the road and realize that they're doing is dangerous. It's going to cost people lives.
Turning to governance and expertise, let's use the idea that it takes 10,000 hours to master a skill or trade and apply it to being a municipal counselor. One person cannot be an expert in all matters which come before council for a decision. How will you gain the necessary learning to be able to make informed decisions? What reading do you do? What professional development will you look for? And what types of people will you seek advice from?
Well, talking to people in my ward, I've talked to some environmentalists, I've talked to some planners, I've talked to a wide range of people with different expertise within the community. So the number one thing I can do is listen. You know, listen to the staff, listen to the people I represent, and then make decisions based upon the information that I have. Are mistakes going to be made? Yeah, they're going to be made, but we're going to learn from the mistakes and move on. It's something that we need to take far more seriously, is learning about the process and best way of providing the services that we do to the community as a whole.
What are two changes you will propose to improve city services?
Wow, this is a great question. One, why don't we have a 311 service in the city? And it makes no sense. It's something we have to do. The other thing we need to do, and I'm a little bit confused on why we don't have it. Almost every one of us will walk around town with our phones. And why isn't there an app, a City of Hamilton app, that we can take pictures of, let's say, potholes and send it in rather than even calling a 311 service? Because what 311 or, you know, the city does now when you call them is they got to get somebody there to inspect and see how bad the damage is. If you send them a picture and they see a 4-foot hole, they know the issue is bad. It needs to be fixed immediately. So an app that can report issues immediately rather than going through the process of making phone calls and everything else. That'd be my second thing I would love to see developed within the community.
What are two changes you will propose to improve quality of life in Hamilton?
Another great question. So we talk a lot about infrastructure and car infrastructure, but what we need to look at is look at non-car infrastructure. For example, bike lanes. As you know, it can be scary riding a bike. And what we need is more lanes that are protected so that somebody just looking at a text while they're driving doesn't accidentally veer in to a bike lane and kill someone. We need to create protected lanes for bikes. That'd be a big step in the right direction rather than just fluorescent paint. The other thing we need to look at is we really need to promote ourselves and what we have to offer, not only to the country as far as everything from our waterfalls to our parks to our paths, but I'm stunned to discover how many Hamiltonians don't know about those things. And so we really need, if you want to improve the quality of life, explore the city. We have a beautiful city and we need to get out and explore it a heck of a lot more than we do.
It's 2026. The Public Record is writing a review of the 4-year council term that is just ending. What 3 words do you hope we will use to describe your term on council, and what 3 words do you hope will describe council as a whole?
Well, good question. I'm going to go with honest, open, and forward-thinking. For the city, I would love to be in a position where the Public Record can use terms such as productive, responsive, and proactive.
Thank you. That's the end of the prepared questions you were sent in advance. Do you have any closing remarks that you wish to share?
I don't, but I really want to thank you, Joey. This is not an easy task. I don't know how you do it, and I've told you that numerous times on Twitter, but please, if you have, and I'm speaking to the people of Ward 14 or anyone else for that matter, if you have any questions, check out brianlewis.ca and let me know. And I'll be more than happy to respond to any questions you have. And hopefully you'll consider me for council.
Great. Thank you, Brian. I normally follow up with asking candidates to tell people how they get in touch, and you've done that. So that's the end of the interview. Thank you so much for joining us today. This has been episode 136 of the Public Records, the 155 podcast. Thank you to the Hamilton Public Library for the use of their makerspaces to record these podcasts. Thank you to the readers and listeners of the Public Record for your support. You can visit thepublicrecord.ca to get more City Hall coverage, sign up for my City Hall newsletter, and become a member of the Press Club to keep me covering Hamilton City Hall. Thank you.